Morning, everyone. My name's John. I'm an alcoholic addict. I've got that personality. If you don't mind, I'll take the video off because of the Wi-Fi. I don't want it to kick in and out, but I'll put it back on at the end of the share. But yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for asking me, Brian. It's always good to do service, and I always, I'm reflecting on when I first come in, and it was a while ago now, and I've made a bit of progress. I've made a bit of progress since I've been in the fellowship. I've been in both of them, and it saved my life. I've got a life today, and I've got a family. I just woke up today, and it was just very idyllic. It's very calm in my house today, and my wife's happy, and she's on here now. And, if you want to know how well I am, speak to my family, speak to our, we have our ups and downs, but it's definitely not our, I'm not the man I was when I first come here, which is what, the true sign of this program working, of God working in my life is progress being made, In working with others, it talks about it being a fatal illness. It says continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. It says if you're satisfied that there are real alcoholics, dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. This is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. I don't want to confuse anyone, but it's the big blue book. So I'm working from there. It's like a textbook, and it saved my life. I was in the fellowship for a long time, not really understanding what was wrong with me. I was in the East End, and I remember sitting in a meeting. It was a Friday night, and I was dying of arrogance. I was dying of superiority. I was dying of, Silkworth talks about a maladjustment to life. The fatal. We're gonna, I'm supposed to be sharing on step one. I might go back and forwards a bit, but how can we help the reader determine that they're one of us? One of the most powerful statements in the big book is it must come from within. Everything comes from within later on in the book. And what happened for me was I reached a point, I suppose. I mean, it talks about the outlaw safecracker. I suppose that sort of describes my personality at that stage, that type of person. I was a bit of a lad, prison. I'd been away. The charge on my sheet was armed robbery. I was a drug dealer, and I was into that sort of lifestyle. I was a very sort of aggressive man, but I at that stage, I didn't know it was fear and no self-esteem. I didn't understand, but that was the life that I carved out for myself. And Bill talks about in his story how out of the alloy of drink and speculation, I began to forge a weapon that would one day, all but turn and cut me to ribbons. Words to that effect, guys, give or take a few words here and there. I haven't got the story out in front of me. I'm sure there's some big book bashers on here. There's a couple of words out of place, but you get the idea. That was me. I forged a weapon through my own thinking that turned on me and cut me to ribbons. So I nearly died. I nearly died through the life that I'd carved out for myself. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's not about that. It's not about, because I go to a lot of meetings. I did go to a lot of CA meetings. I see a lot of people trying to be important. Bill talks about that drive to be important. You got a room full of mentally ill people, and everyone's trying to clamour over each other to be important. I'll prove to the world. And that was really, I had a lot of that going on. I'll prove to the world I was important. My work took me about Wall Street. Little by little, I became interested in the market. The drive for success was on. So I could apply that to my personality. My personality was this competitive. I mean, I'm in a room full of nutters, and I want to be king of the nutters. And I remember my sponsor at the time, Alan, he was a good lad. He was armed with the facts about himself. It was a long time ago now. He took me, I've been around about 20 years now. And he took me through the program. And I remember something happened deep down within me. And I'll never forget it to the day I died. It's that first step in recovery where we concede. And it's a spiritual step, very spiritual step one, because it happens between, you know, it says at its core, it remains simple and personal. So you got, I'm dying of alcoholism, and I was, guys, I was dying. It was, I'm one of them, I'm type four. I'm one of them that there are those two who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. So I'm that type. So it says, how are we? I don't know any of you on here really, apart from my wife and Brian and Sarah. But the book's reading you. The book's qualifying you. You're not qualifying the book. You're not here to help AA or CA, right? You don't hold AA or CA up, right? You're here because you're dying of a mental illness. But the illness will tell you the opposite to what's going on. The illness will tell you you're the most important person in the room, or it will tell you that you're not. You're the low self esteem, which I'll go into a little bit in a minute when we look into Silkworth's maladjustment to life. So I had that type of personality. So you know, in his opinion, which Silkworth was a psychiatrist, by the way, guys, he's one of the great minds of his time. It gave the book integrity. It says, while our literature has preserved the integrity of the AA message, right? So integrity means to keep whole. So thank God, because people want to get hold of the book and they want to change, as humans do. They want to rewrite the book. What, leave the book alone. The book's perfectly all right. It saved millions, and it saved mine. You get these do-gooders that come along and they want to like start rewriting things. They don't really understand what's going on. And see, what the book's doing is it's qualifying the real alcoholic, the real addict, that type of personality. The personality of a real alcoholic, of a real addict. You know what I mean? So cocaine, and I will talk about the Charlie. I mean, I'll find it in AA, but I'm comfortable in all the fellowships. I just ain't got time to go to all of them. But I have that type. Of, see, if you put me away, if you put me in jail, like if I went to jail and I can't get hold of a bit, I can't get hold of a drink, then I'll use something else. I'll find something. My personality finds something because it needs the sense of ease and comfort. Because my brain doesn't like to be exposed to reality. So what happens is my brain's, if you put me into reality without a psychic change that I'll talk about in a minute. But what happens is when my brain's put into reality, without any substance, without any sedation, it starts screaming, you know what I mean, at me. It remembers the sense of ease and comfort the book talks about. That sense, the sense of ease and comfort that comes at once. It's like a medicine for me. Charlie was an instant bit of medicine, took away all that gear, you know, all the stuff that was in me. So what happens is life is my trigger, people. People talk about their trigger point. Well, like, as soon as I woke up, as soon as I come round out of my, I'm triggered, bang, wallop. Now get on with life. How can I? Can't do it. I mean, fuck that. My brain's telling me, fuck that, John. You better get yourself sedated against that. Do you know what I mean? Literally, that's what it says. Get yourself sedated. It remembers the sense of ease and comfort. See, the brain starts screaming because it's a maladjustment to life. A maladjustment to life is an inability to cope with anything socially demanding. I'm not talking. See, I'm very clear on that with people. Like, people got their own opinions. Don't care about your opinion. I care about what the book says. The book's telling me what's wrong with me. It's qualifying me as a real alcoholic. So I suffer from a mental illness, an inability to cope with anything that's socially demanding. Remember that I'm talking to the real alcoholic. I'm talking to the real addict. I'm not talking to the heavy drinker who's got a few problems with, they've had a couple of rats too many. They've lost their job and they've got a little bit of depression. I'm talking about you're dying. You're dying of a mental illness, right? Put the drink and the drugs down and the real trouble kicks in. That's the person I'm talking to. The drink and the drugs will stop working because the illness is far too powerful for that. The illness overtakes that, see? So what you're left with just you. You're left with your illness. Your alcoholism, right? The fatal malady, the internal spiritual malady. Remember the book says, when we overcome the malady, physically and mentally, we straighten out, right? So we'll dwell on that. This type of person who's got that, but you know, the terrible low self-esteem. So the characteristic of a maladjustment, Silkworth says, the physician who our request gave us this letter has been kind enough to enlarge upon his views. Another statement which followed. In this statement, he confirms that we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. Right, so we're looking at the body, right? The allergy. When I pick something up, I can't stop. It's beyond my mental control, right? So we've got that part there, yeah? Then he goes on to say, this is Silkworth, by the way, the psychiatrist, one of the great mind of his time. He was a director of one of the leading hospitals. He wasn't your local Patel from around the corner. He really knew what he was talking about, this fella, right? He says, it did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality or outright mental defectives. Look at that word there, mental defectives. Any mental defectives? So mental defects are serious stuff. Full flight from reality is really serious. Maladjustment, inability to cope with anything that's socially demanding. But my brain's telling me I can. It's deluded. Every time I go into that situation to try and cope with it, I can't cope. I pick up. I go through the well-known cycles of a spree. I'll bury that experience opening life. It will never see light of day again because I always mess it up. I have that utter inability to form a successful relationship with another human being, right? So the book's qualifying me, right? It's qualifying me as that type of person. That's who the book's speaking of, the real alcoholic, the hopeless alcoholic addict. Lack of power is the dilemma. Silkworth, for the first time in history, is writing about this stuff. My life changed. My life changed when I read that gear. I wasn't a stupid man. I was never able to focus on anything. So, you know, there was no real education, but I wasn't stupid. So, you know, the characteristic of a maladjustment is I feel separated. I feel separated from God's power, from my family. I feel separated from my friend. Well, whatever person I've got in my life, I feel separated from. So I have to use, you know, it's a conscious or unconscious separation from the presence, the power of God, you know, family, friends, and the world about me. So I actually mentally, physically, I feel like I'm not here. I'm not part of this world. What's going on? There's a slice missing. Whatever word you want to, I really felt, boom, the lights went on when I read that stuff. And I remember going home that night. I was in East London at the time. And I remember closing the door to my home. And I remember sitting down and I just cried. I just broke. I just broke inside. And you know what? Looking back, it's a long time ago. Though. Looking back now, if there hadn't have been at the foundation of every problem is understanding the problem. And if there hadn't have been that step one, I don't believe I'd be here today. I don't. Step one, concede to our innermost self. I conceded. I went, I'm done. I can't live this way no more. I was so tired. I was so lonely. You know, I was so tired of trying to be something I wasn't. The book talks about that act. So trust me, I've done some stuff. Do you know what I mean? I was involved in a world that you could write a book about. You know, I mean, if you was that way inclined, if you had that way about you, you wanted to be important. I don't. I'm anonymous. I've got my camera off. You don't know who I am. I work for God. I'm a born again Christian. I work for the Lord. I'm anonymous. Do you know what I mean? I don't need my name to go out there in bright lights. I fly the flag for the Lord. You know what I mean? For God. You know, and at the crux of this stuff, I started to realise around the maladjustment, this low self-esteem that I suffered. And I didn't know it was low self-esteem until I started drilling into it. Started having a look at myself. I was hyper-vigilant. You know, I felt like I was unlovable. Who would want to know me? Who would want to be around me? Who would want, you know, scum? That was at the core underneath all the acts. Yeah, I was awkward. I felt incompetent, you know, I inadequate. So I became violent. You know what I mean? You got in my way. If you got in my way, I'd hurt you. And I would hurt you. I mean, if I felt that you was going to challenge me, I'd stick saying in you. There'd be that type of behaviour in me because of the fear. You know what I mean? I was frightened. So I had to get in before anyone else did. So I reacted to people in life. You know what I mean? I was a violent man, put away for it. You know what I mean? Even in prison, trust me, they put me in solitary because I was full of fear, you know. But I started to drill into that sensitivity. The book talks about how it's a serious handicap. It takes some of us a long time to outgrow. Now, if you've got that type of personality that I have, you ain't having a normal life, guys. I don't care how many meetings you do. You know, these people tell me about 90 and 90. I would have killed 90 meetings in 90 days. I wouldn't have made it through. I would have killed someone. I had to have a way of looking at myself. Don't get me wrong. We all need the meetings. But I needed a way of coping with life. I needed a way of looking at myself. And I needed to understand I was mentally ill. Right. And at the crux of that was that terrible low self-esteem. You know, I was very critical of myself. The words really can't describe. There aren't any words out there. My wife will talk about it. Like, pathological mental deterioration. There was a way I thought about myself that other people don't think. They don't go there. I went there. So, I mean, I went to the gates of insanity, and it was nearly time for me to die. That was where I went. You know what I mean? The Lord let me go there, because I am one of them. I'm self-will run riot. I am the type of alcoholic that needed to be smashed to pieces. You know, the fatal malady. That's what I wanted to talk about, you know. And, you know, in There Is a Solution, it says, with many individuals, the methods which I employ are successful, but I've never been successful in alcoholic, your description, you know. So there's no man-made cure for me. I'm not that type of alcoholic addict. I've got that type of personality where I'm you know, at best, they're going to put me away, yeah, because I'm a danger to myself and others, or more likely, I'll turn the lights out for myself. Because what goes on, and trust me, guys, I'm sure you can identify with that. I've got our listeners along my arm, people that I know that just give up. Because what happens is the hope goes. You must have hope, faith, and love in your life. You must have it in whatever ways. Human people can't survive without it. The greatest of that is love. But you have to have hope. There weren't none left in me. The Lord allowed me to get to a point, and then I knew the game was up. It's almost like, you know, he allowed me to run around trying to fix life myself. And then when I knew, he started to put things in my way. He started to put people in my way, you know, that then would, you know, sit down and they sat down with me and helped me, and they was able to help me. The lad that helped me, he was able to help me, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't well at that stage, you know. There was a lot of work had to go in. And what's happened is a result of me understanding that only God's power could have restored me. You know, I've been restored mentally. Like, so the pride, you know, it talks about There Is a Solution, you know, the leaven of the pride. You know, almost none of us like the self-searching, the leaven of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for successful consummation. But we saw that it really works in others. And we have come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we've been living it. So understand there, guys. You know, I mean, you can't cut a bit out if you feel like it. It says confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for successful consummation. Consummation means to have a relationship. So I'm having a relationship with my power, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. For me to develop that relationship, I have to confess on a daily basis what's really going on inside me. Gift of life and death is in my tongue. So I confess what's really going on. And 6 and 7, you know the mirror. I'm going on, but it's very difficult not to. But what's happened is, as a result of understanding that I'm maladjusted to life, I am that type of person. I won't live, right? That's step one. It's not like, you know, what you can do is you can have a quarter of this, God, I'm hanging on to the rest of it. You know, I ain't going to make it. You know what I mean? That's what the book's saying. The book's telling me, it's reading me, it's qualifying me. You know, you're done. It's over for you. Look at the history of your life. You've got one failure after another, generally relationships, destroyed by rejection, destroyed by abandonment, destroyed with fear, wrapped through with it. It was a fabric. I didn't realise how frightened I was until I started to recover from it, get well, grow. My poor wife, you know what I mean? I'd be upset. I mean, no, I won't even go into it. But like the times I just used to, I'd have moments where I'd just sob because I just felt so ill getting well. I'm sure you can identify with that, some of you on here. I just used to sob, you know what I mean? And progress, see, guys? You know, progress. And then the coping with life, the control issues, you know, that needing approval. I used to want people to like me. I didn't even like them. I was so tired. And I hated that in myself, that I've got these people around me. I want them to like me, but I don't even like them. I don't agree with them, but I want them to like me. And go figure that one out. There ain't no pill you can take to get rid of that, guys. Low self-esteem. God's power, remove that. You know, trying to control people in my arena of life. People with low self-worth, they generally want to control everything and anyone in their life. You know, step on the toes of the fellows, they will retaliate. So you just see where I'm going with this, guys. You know what I mean? If you've got that type of personality, how do you possibly think you can form relationships, get married, settle down, children, whatever it is? I don't know. I don't know who you are. But, you know, you're designed, you have instincts to life. You're designed to have people that, you know, at the core of this, crux of this is utter inability to form a successful relationship with another human being. And that was, it's so sad, guys. Trust me, you know, it's a very cruel illness, this. You know, I mean, it takes your life. You know what I mean? I remember coming out of a coma. I was 30 years of age, 31, 32. I remember sitting in the, I just come out of it. I thought, where have you been? So like they all brought me out of this coma and I just, you know, and I was, you just think, well, what's going on here? What's happening, you know? And, you know, it's the power of this illness, do you know what I mean? And so you keep going forward, guys. You just keep moving forward. Progress, see? There are no well people. See those people that think they're well, floating about with tambourines and all that in the fellowship? Trust me, swerve them. There are no well people in the fellowship. It's just people making progress in God, in Jesus, in your whatever higher power you've got. See, my power was the Lord. And when I started to build it on rock, that's when my life started to change. I started to have that deep transformation process that went over me, come around about me now. Like I'm secure in who I am. I had a lot of that running around the fellowship, sponsoring everyone. I was exhausted. I was living in my car, sponsoring half of East London, you know what I mean? Thinking it was going to get me well, and it didn't. It didn't. Trust me, I got really unwell doing that, you know, because I couldn't say no. Wanted that approval. You know, then I had an experience with the Lord and I started to build my house on rock. And I started to, you know, dig deep down. I dug right deep down into what was really going on and had a look at the real grave nature of alcoholism, the maladjustment at Siltworth. See, Carl Jung, later on in the book, you know, how he worked with you know, Roland Hazard, I think it was. And it's powerful stuff because you start to come up with what's really going on here. Do you know what I mean? Because I was highly deluded. I was really deluded. I actually thought I was doing... I remember sitting in a meeting and I remember doing a chair with my sponsor sitting in... He was sitting there, right? And I remember doing one of these chairs. It was an armed robbery. I call them the armed robbery chairs. I was talking about all the... how I glamorised my autism. You know, the jails and the telly and all, it was on Crime Watch and how the old Bill was after me and I had to go to Amsterdam and all that nonsense that you hear about it, didn't you? And I remember sitting there, my sponsor weren't having none of it. He didn't bat an eyelid. I remember we was working together and all that. And he said to me, he said, you know what you're trying to do? I said, no. He said, you're trying to impress a room full of mentally ill people with your story. I didn't know whether to chin him or break down. I didn't know. But I fell in. I just completely fell in that I was nuts. You know what I mean? Trying to be something that I weren't. And don't get me wrong, the story's not a lie. It's just that the psychology behind it, what broke me, you know, that's what broke me. The reasons why I done what I done, they were because I was suffering from terrible low self-esteem. I had control issues. I wanted to be important. You know what I mean? And that broke me. See, my illness, you know, what I said in Bill's story, out of the ally of drink and speculation, I commenced to forge a weapon that would one day turn on me and cut me at ribbons. So my thinking, what I you know, I produced this life out of my thinking that turned on me and cut me to ribbons. You know what I mean? And I just about made it out of my life. And that's the truth of the matter. And I'm sure there's people on here that will identify with whatever story you've got. It ain't about topping each other's stories. I'm sure you've got some toppers around you. I'm sure there's some toppers in here. It ain't about topping. It ain't about being important. It's about understanding. You know what I mean? When the lights went on for me, I realised, I had to develop this relationship with my loving creator. We're all children of a loving creator in here, guys. It is, so in effect, we are very much part of a family, you know, and one of the codes that we should develop, and I'm not saying I was there straight away, but it's love and tolerance. That is, you know, a more important demonstration is in my own with my wife. She's on here now with my child, right? But I have to be loving and tolerant with my people in a fellowship, right? And I'm not always there, trust me. There's been thousands and thousands when I'm not there, but I have to get myself back there. And what I do is, because of my maladjustment, I'm not there. So I have to learn. I have to learn and change and correct the new mistakes as we go along. You know, the step 11, which I'll be sharing on that tomorrow, I believe. I think Brian's got me booked in for that. But then we start taking step one into step 11. Obviously, you clear away the wreckage, as you do through the big book. You enter the world of the spirit. And then you start having a look at what's really going on, because it's just the tip of the iceberg this year got. See, the alcoholism was just was what I developed as a result of the personality. Then I had to start going and have a look at what was really going on in me. You know what I mean? The personality. Like, remember, you know, some people on here be aware, I say this a lot, that Titanic wasn't sunk by what they could see. It was sunk by what they couldn't see. That, you know, 90% of this illness is obscured. We can't see it. We have to really start digging deep and have a look what's really going on. Build your house on rock, guys. But I'll bring this to a close now. At the core of this, the foundation of any problem is understanding the problem. Right now, I'm able to cope with life now. I'm able to stay married. Right? It's easy to get married. It's the staying part that's a difficult bit. Right? So if you ask my wife to describe her perfect man, she'll describe another woman. Right? See, we're polar opposites, me and my missus. She's a lovely girl. She's lovely. She'd be honest, she'd probably share, but I don't know what's going on here. But what I learned through me understanding what was wrong with me, she's not the problem, I am. She's not the problem, I am. In God's sovereignty, God put Lisa with me. God never gets anything wrong, by the way. you got these people in the fellowship that think they're God. I'm like, leave off, I've smelt your breath. You're definitely not God. You know, you're putting yourself on the mantelpiece of your life. You're not God. God's God. He gets it right. He put Lisa in my life. I married her. I'm the one that's got to grow, not her. See, when I've got my eyes fixed on my wife, that's where the trouble. I mean, I can fix my eyes on my wife in other ways, but not fix my eyes on my wife. Listen, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that, which is what my illness really wants to do, the control issue. Horrific. What are you doing that for? What's that? What's going on here? Why are you overing? Why is it my dinner on us? Why is my pants not? The illness is horrific. Horrific. 6 and 7, see, guys, I have to become accountable for my control issues so I can live successfully in that relationship without causing neurosis in my child and my wife. I'm not here to do that. Love and tolerance, remember? What is love? Love holds no record of wrongs, wants the best. Love's a powerful, powerful emotion. But it's not like a lot of people go, yeah, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I look at their lives, so I go, well, that ain't reflecting love. You can tell a tree by its fruit. An orange tree won't produce pears, right? If it is, there's something wrong. An apple tree won't produce grapes. If it is, there's something wrong. Do you understand where I'm going with this? The fruit I'm producing is kindness, love, long-suffering, peace, gentleness. They're the fruits. If I'm not, there's a problem. There's a problem in me. Not you. It's me. I'm the problem. I'm the one in recovery. I'm the one, my illness needed. My thinking, my best thinking, put me into a CA room, an AA room. Put me into a church, wanted with a gun, wanting to kill myself. Right? That's my best thinking. I always have to remember the height that I come from, the height that I fell. Always remember that, guys, when you start to start pissing with importance. You start bowling into the rooms with your elf on, flirting with the birds, or the birds flirting with the gate. You know, that superior, the ego. What's your ego? Because that's the problem. The pride of life. Yeah, that's the area you're looking at. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.